Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. In addition to the newly produced material offered on the website and here on PCJ Media, we also feature some old vintage reports and features from the pre-Switzerland in Sound days. The information they contain may no longer be valid or up to date, but we present this material as a sound document for your listening pleasure. Here is one of those vintage items.
Wird das Berner Volk am 19. April zur Urne geführt für Parlament und Regierung für eine weitere Legislaturperiode von 4 Jahren frisch zu wählen.
That was not a folklore show for tourists. It was the beginning of a Meet the Candidates evening organized by the Swiss People's Party, the SVP, the strongest rural political grouping in Canton Bern. The venue is the large meeting hall of the Hotel Kreutz in the small Emmental village of Biglen. The local yodeling club and brass band are on hand to provide the much-appreciated musical breaks between informal, low-key remarks by local SVP candidates running for election to the Bernese Cantonal Parliament. For the 200 or so village folk present, it's a festive night out, complete with a beer or a glass or two of wine. This is the way it's done out here in the country. Rural Swiss political office holders serve on a non-paid, voluntary basis, according to what is often referred to as the Swiss political militia system. Markus Weiner is the mayor of Biglen, or to use the preferred local terminology, he's the communal president. He's a former school teacher and the retired head of personnel of a major Swiss bank.
Wir zählen uns eigentlich zum Emmental. Wir haben rund 60% von unserer arbeitenden Bevölkerung, wo in der Richtung Burgdorf, Thun oder Bern.
Biglen is officially part of the Emmental, although about 60% of our residents work outside the village, in Bern, Thun or Burgdorf. But we don't like to be called a suburb, because we have our own social and cultural life. Biglen has an optimal mix of agriculture, trade and industry, as well as recreational facilities. The population is 1,750. 1,250 of whom are eligible to vote. Our responsibilities as a commune include the maintenance of roads, the provision of water and sewage services, electricity, refuse collection and schools. With an altitude of 750 meters, we also have to be especially prepared for snow clearing. We have only a few paid professionals in our communal administration. These include the municipal clerk and his small staff, our financial secretary, and the man responsible for road maintenance, and a couple of part-time caretakers. The other functions, including mine and that of the municipal commissioners, are voluntary. What's special here is the close contact between the people and the municipal administration. We all know one another. No one is completely anonymous, and we're trying to create a village atmosphere that will contribute to the well-being of our people. The word commune for us means togetherness and a sense of belonging. We still greet each other on the street, which is hardly done anymore in the cities. Regardless of where they work, I'm convinced that the people of Biglen identify with this community. With the stress of modern professional life, it's important that people have a place to go home to where they can feel good, where they have friends and can be themselves. We have 30 associations of all kinds in the village, and this gives people a chance to find an alternative to their workaday lives. We're paying special attention to communication with the population. Every month we publish a small magazine that goes to all Biglen households. It contains news of and about the village and village institutions. If, for example, the Yodel Club returns from participating in an event somewhere, we meet them at the train station and organise a little celebration. We organise a welcome dinner for young people who have just reached legal age, and we're promoting activities for our senior citizens. Of course, we have our problems too. Things like crime and drugs are not a real problem here. But like other communes, we're finding it more difficult to find people willing to serve on commissions and in other volunteer functions. We're also short of financial means. That's really the biggest problem at the moment.
Switzerland is the land of direct democracy. The citizens themselves have a major influence on the political process and are called upon to vote on a wide range of propositions. Typical rural issues involve publicly financed construction projects, changes in zoning regulations, and even the approval of candidates for naturalization, since this is usually a communal affair. Direct democracy in the context of local politics takes the form of communal assemblies. It's here that the communal council presents propositions and makes recommendations about the way to vote. Every citizen has the right to speak their mind, and polling is by a show of hands. Dirk Montagne is a naturalized Swiss, originally from the Netherlands. He lives in the village of Gross Höchstetten, just down the road from Biglen. Dirk enjoys the social atmosphere of the communal assembly and often takes over the job of vote counting. Occasionally, though, they're anything but rubber stamp affairs.
Two out of three of these assemblies is routine, is a three-quarter of an hour's operation, you know. Everybody is happy that the end is there and then we can go to the restaurant and have a beer together. But nevertheless, one out of three, we have a surprise. Suddenly, there is a kind of an ignition and people get warmed up and they are getting quite excited, and such a subject, let's say the construction of a new soccer field or the purchase of a piece of land or just things that are really interesting the people, not the financial budget of next year or something like that. That is of not of interest, but small things can be of a big surprise, and then suddenly such an assembly can run on till midnight suddenly. That is one of those good things in this type of democracy.
But how many people go regularly to these community assemblies?
In most cases we have a core. We have a core, let's say, of 10-15% of the population that regularly go.
Really politically involved.
They're politically involved. But if there is suddenly an emotional subject, then you see suddenly half of the population sitting there in our community center and trying to participate in such a debate.
Being a member of communal government requires a lot of dedication and even idealism. Back in Biglen, Matthias Keller is a social democratic member of the communal council, where the majority of council members belong to the SVP or are independent. He's a local school teacher with a special interest in the environment. He told me that when it comes down to issues, party politics are put aside, and the atmosphere during council sessions is unemotional.
Well, normally it's very quiet, very businesslike, pragmatical. Sometimes I get very emotional, but that's in rare cases.
Why is it becoming so difficult to find people willing to work in community politics?
Because it needs a lot of time, and you don't get much money for it. So like 30 francs an evening you get. And there's not very big possibilities of influencing the politics because most of these things are routine.
So you can't articulate any personal political ambitions? It's not a stepping stone to national politics or something like that?
No, it's just doing a job. You can't put a philosophy in it. It's just a business. It's a sort of administration of the community. I think the problem is that most problems we talking about on community level are not to be solved on community level, because it's a problem of has to be solved on level canton or even the whole country. And the community as it exists now, I think, will disappear in the future.
Sharing Matthias Keller's view of the declining importance of communal politics is Pierre Haldimann, a Biglin lawyer and former member of the Bernese cantonal parliament, where he served for 12 years.
Well, I think the most important is the Swiss level today, the federal level, and then the cantonal, and then the level of the community. Because the laws today comes from the federal level.
The ones that affect us the most.
That's right. That's right. The canton and the community execute the law of the federal level. I give you an example. Water treatment. The federal government says it has to be done. The canton says how to do it. And the community has no choice but has simply to do it. At one time, the local politics were very important, but today we have globalization also in Swiss politics. That means that the real political power is with the canton and especially with the federal government.
But perhaps somewhat ironically, the declining interest in communal government may prove to be a great chance for more women to become involved in politics. Under the aegis of a group called Pro Emmental, women in the region are being offered courses in Swiss politics to give them the necessary knowledge and confidence to enter the political arena. Katharina Zaug has lived in Biglin for many years and has roots in the Emmental, although she teaches clinical microbiology in the city. She decided to sign up for the course.
We learn about the traditional role of women, that there were always some women who were politically active even if they couldn't vote. And we get basic information about the way our political system works. We also get some training and we can practice how to communicate well. We learn to talk in front of a microphone, for instance. There will be a visit to a town reunion. We will visit the parliament building and be part also there of some kind of a reunion. It is five times on a Saturday, the full day.
What type of politics are emphasized at these courses?
We start with the communal level, so women can take part in the community and the commissions or the functions they usually are part of is education, school, things which concern schools, and definitely social services.
Fewer and fewer people are willing to give their free time to participate in the militia political system in Switzerland, especially at the communal level. Do you think this means that women now have a better chance to participate because they will be needed perhaps more than before?
I think so, definitely, because women are more prepared to do this kind of work on a free basis, especially when their children are a bit bigger and they have more time. I think they have a very strong interest in what goes on in the community.
And if you got an invitation tomorrow to participate in a local commission, would you accept it?
I would say wait until I finish the course.
Spoken like a true politician. Thank you.
Katharina Zaug, one of the Emmental women who have decided to answer the political call in a bid to give politics in rural Switzerland the new dimension it needs to remain relevant in the future. And that's our look at politics in rural Switzerland.
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
Here in Switzerland, there are between 7 and 8,000 blind or severely visually handicapped people. 80 to 90,000 more have some form of visual impairment that makes it difficult for them to use modern technological tools like the personal computer.
Modern computers and software have become highly visual, but this does not mean that they can't be adapted to the needs of the visually impaired. This was the theme at a recent exhibition in the city of Biel. It was sponsored by the Swiss Federation of the Blind and attracted a number of companies and organizations specialized in this field. Arnold Schneider is the Secretary General of the Swiss Federation of the Blind. He's totally sightless himself, but considers the personal computer an essential part of his professional and private life.
I think there are two aspects. One aspect is that the computer is a tool which is used at nearly every workplace. And so it's very important that blind people are also able to use this tool. On the other hand, the computer is an access method to information. So with the computer and the appropriate access technology, they can access books with scanners, and they can access newspapers through internet, and they can access CD-ROMs and so on. So they have access to a lot of information which was not available before the computer was there.
Arnold Schneider, Secretary General of the Swiss Federation of the Blind. Irma Sheik may be totally blind, but she demonstrated a very special kind of vision when a few years ago she decided to start computer courses for the visually impaired here in Bern. At the time, the personal computer was considered by many to be a mainly visual tool unsuitable for the blind. Irma Sheik took up the challenge and was among the first blind people in Switzerland to master the computer and actually use it in her work as a secretary and translator. We have to get used to that computer voice a little bit, but it's amazing. You sat at the computer just a moment ago, Mrs. Sheik, and you put this in on the keyboard, and out came the words that you would put in. What happened here? What's going on? What is this system?
The system is a normal computer, as you buy as well if you are a normally sighted person. It's a computer with a normal keyboard and also a normal monitor. But I have, with this normal computer, a braille line underneath my keyboard.
Yes, it looks like sort of a support or a base that goes underneath the regular computer keyboard.
Yes, just under the keyboard. And with my hands, I can read all what I have written, every line for line. I can read the whole monitor this way. I write with a normal keyboard and I read what I have written on this braille line.
And then we have the added dimension now of the synthesized computer voice, so you have that option to listen to exactly what you have written.
Yes, I have a braille line and I have the synthetic voice, so I have two possibilities of controlling my work.
Now, let's just look at the computer screen. I noticed there were a couple of other people, your husband for example. Your husband is visually impaired, but he can read the screen.
Yes.
If he goes very close, and the actual text, the characters are very large. I think the Windows 95 program, the Word program especially, already allows you to use special characters for the visually impaired.
Yes, it allows it to enlarge the letters on the screen.
You say that you are working as a secretary and a translator. That implies that once you master this technique, you can work pretty fast.
Yes, as fast as everybody else.
How many students do you have, let's say, in an average year?
I don't have classes. I have
so one. It's individual.
Student, yes, individual. And I would say I have in the year 25 students.
Are there any limitations to using a computer for the visually impaired, or can you use a computer like internet, for example, and other programs like anyone else?
Yes, like anyone else. Internet, I'm doing internet as well. I'm writing my text. I'm also reading with my computer. I put on a scanner, and so I can read my post. What's coming in every day.
So the computer reads it for you, and you
yes.
get it either through the Braille touch keyboard
yes.
or through the speaker.
Yes. I think for the people who can use it and who don't be afraid to use it, I think it's a grand advantage.
In Switzerland, is there any financial support or help for the visually impaired in getting this equipment?
Yes. I must say we are still lucky. In Switzerland, the people who are working, they receive for their work really great financial help for the aids, for braille lines and such like. But also private person, through institutions, they get help so that nobody must be without computer if they really need one.
Could you get the computer to say goodbye to us?
Yes, I try.
Whatever language you like?
Yes, yes, I try.
This will be German. Auf Wiedersehen und einen guten Tag.
Auf Wiedersehen und einen guten Tag.
Armed with the basic equipment of the kind Irma Sheik just demonstrated, the blind and visually impaired are ready to take on just about anything that modern computers can offer, including the Internet. Although pure graphics are still a problem, the Internet is full of text information and, of course, audio-on-demand services. Jörg Kartemus is a specialist in surfing the net, blind.
SBV Information. Infovision 97 Gastrom Erkblatt. Beratungsstellen. Adressen die EDV Beratungsstelle. Regionalsekretariat Deutschschweiz. Dienstleistungen.
We have here the entry page in German of our Swiss Federation of the Blind. For example, there's an information how you should behave when you meet a blind person in a restaurant, for example. Information about our hotel center in the Berner Oberland. Information about meetings organized by our federation.
Do you find that this page is also accessed by sighted people who are really interested in knowing more about the blind and the visually impaired?
I myself already had contacts from sighted persons which sent me emails, and they came through in this homepage.
Can you in principle retrieve any information from the Internet like this and produce it in a synthesized voice form?
The problem is that there are many homepages which have only graphics, and then you have to click on a graphic. For example, there's a book. When you click on the book, you have a table of contents of this book, but for speech and braille, it is impossible to see this graphic.
So the Internet is really rather user unfriendly if you have some kind of a visual impairment.
It depends on the layout of the web page of each site. You should always have the information of the web page, not only in graphic mode, but also in text mode. And then it is very well accessible for the blind and visually impaired persons.
But you're not completely cut off from the Internet and the use of computers. You've come a long way already. I understand, for example, that you can even read some Swiss newspapers right off the line. Is that right?
We have a project here in Switzerland, and there are others in Germany as well, where you can load down newspapers from a computer server and load it into your computer and then read it.
Can you download something for us?
Ausgabe vom 5. Dezember 1997.
We have the Blick tabloid paper, and let's hear their top stories now.
Was zum Teufel dürfen wir noch essen? Vorwärts von Karin Müller und Theo Uller zurück. Bernd, ihr redet nie mehr. Ebonger Steak nie mehr. Ochsenmaulsalat. Sehr auf meine Homepage.
Well, it's an article about people concerned about what they eat, and literally translated, what the devil are we still allowed to eat? Okay, well, it obviously works. So this must have opened a tremendous new dimension. You can actually hear a whole newspaper just being spoken to you.
Yes, it brings possibilities which we did not have yet a few years ago.
That was Jörg Kartemus, an Internet specialist with the Swiss Federation of the Blind. For those who prefer oral aids that don't require a personal computer, there's the Swiss Library for the Blind and Visually Impaired. As the name implies, the library offers a wide range of literature in spoken form. Users can obtain a small player device that's light and very easy to use, and also offers the big advantage of portability. The library's Christian Moily told me more about the service.
We have talking books, we have a braille press, we have games for blind and visual handicapped people.
But I understand, unlike what we've been seeing around here, you don't use synthesized voices, you actually use the human voice, real people reading the texts.
Yes, that's true. It's more comfortable to listen to a human voice.
Could we have a sample of how something sounds? Just choose anything that you have.
Yes. Willkommen bei Blackstock. Bitte warten.
And this took the program off of CD-ROM.
Yeah.
Is that the main medium you're using, CD-ROM?
Yes, for this machine we use the CD-ROM, and the voice is digitalized. You can jump from section to section, from sentence to sentence. That's the main idea.
Now, this device is called a Plextor, and it looks like a small, very light, handy little toolbox or something, or a little briefcase that people can carry around very easily. It has buttons, volume control, large controls to make it easy to use. So let's hear that voice quality, how that sounds.
An der kleinasiatischen Küste. Wir finden die Philosophen der vorsokratischen Zeit in Milet, Ephesus, Klazomenai, Kolophon, Samos.
It sounds like a dissertation about the philosophers of ancient Greece. Is that right?
Yes. What is it? Oh, it's, yeah.
Well, there's the CD, exactly, the History of Philosophy. That means that you offer a very wide range of material, not only news and information, but also study materials of all kinds, history, mathematics, maybe?
All kind of range. We have science books and things like that for students, for studying, for school, for work. About 12,000 titles.
And how well used is this library?
We have about 5,500 users right now.
And how is this group supported?
It's almost half by subvention from the state and from people who give us money to do that service for the blind.
Thank you very much.
Willkommen bei Plextalk. Bitte warten.
Le Monde Diplomatique, Nummer 11, November 1996. Ihre Sprecherin ist Anne-Marie Cho. In dieser Ausgabe Rechtswege. Unverändert hat Russland mit enormen wirtschaftlichen und sozialen...
The Spoken Literature Service of the Swiss Library for the Blind and Visually Handicapped. One of the high technology services for the visually handicapped, featured at the recent exhibition in the city of Biel, devoted to electronic and computer aids for the blind.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.